Hi there. Welcome to another episode of The Problem Is Not The Problem, Thinking Development Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Aki Odubitun. I'm a medical doctor, medical literacy expert, thinking skills advocate, and evangelist. I'm also author of the book, Common Errors in Thinking, which is available on Amazon, the Apple Store, Barnes & Nobles, and anywhere else you get your books from. Thinking is the fundamental human resource. Every problem is a thinking problem. And all our solutions are thinking solutions. Change your thinking, change your world. Improve your thinking, improve your life. Anecdotally, 80% of the people think thinking is hard. And of course, when you do not have the right tools, anything can be hard, which is where we come in. We do trainings and seminars and programs for people to have access to tools that they can use in their everyday life. Change your thinking, change your world. Improve your thinking, improve your life. Today's episode, as you may have seen from the title, is The Phenomenal Power of Unanswered Prayer. Let me take that again. The Phenomenal Power of Unanswered Prayer. And that's probably a strange title for a podcast that has to do with thinking, because a lot of thinking is seen as a purely material thing. We do not see it easily cross over into spirituality or religion, irrespective of which religion you adhere to. Thinking is almost made like a second fiddle or an adjunct, and even in some cases an outright enemy to the religious establishment or to the spiritual communities and whatnot. But thinking is the fundamental human resource. When you improve your thinking, even your spirituality will improve. If you improve your thinking, even your religion will be improved. If you improve your thinking, your sect or your parish or your community or your group, if you improve your thinking, all those things will improve too. Because thinking is the fundamental human resource. In my book, Common Errors in Thinking, there's a chapter there about thinking and faith. Faith in the sense of, you know, religion, spirituality. And where, how historically and ironically, a lot of the thinking we have today, a lot of the progress, a lot of what is called Western education came from the religious establishment. And the religious establishment, you know, came in, moved across the world with their guns and Bibles. Not only then, in the Middle East, the Arabs moved across exporting their brand of religion with the Quran and a gun as well. But that's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is that if you improve your thinking, your religion improves, your spirituality improves, and everybody moves forward together. We develop, we grow, we evolve. Change your thinking, change your world. And so the topic today can come across as a bit strange. The phenomenal power of unanswered prayer. Now, like most people, you have prayed at some point in time or the other. Common things that drive people who may not even be particularly religious to pray, amongst other things, include health. So when someone is ill, when you're ill, or someone you love is ill, really, really ill, we jump into prayer mode. When we're in trouble, you know, there's impending violence, there's unrest, there are riots, and you fear for your safety and security, you pray. And so many other things. And those, when you're also going for something good, those, because those two examples are, in quotes, negative examples. But we also pray when we want positive things. So you're bidding for a contract. You've dotted your I's, you've crossed your T's. But you just need that one more step and you say, God, please. That's it. You also pray. Sometimes too, you're waiting for that promotion, long overdue, and you're wondering what's going to happen, and you need to pray. I say, God, please. Yes. So we all pray. The other thing is, a lot of times, people do not really, they don't really understand the scope of what prayer is. Now, as a thinker, my perspective is obviously a little different, but it's still familiar. The same way that thinking, speech, and action are connected. Yeah, it works that way too. Thinking is invisible, and speaking is the bridge between the invisible thinking and the invisible speaking, but it's audible, and then action physically is visible and audible. And many times we limit ourselves to what we do in speaking in the place of prayer. We limit ourselves in what we do in action in the place of prayer. So some people will pray, they'll kneel down on their knees. Some people will lie down on their front, some at their backs while praying. Some will stand up while praying. Some will hold hands while praying. Fantastic. Excellent. Go back to speak. Sometimes when we're praying, it's supplication. Sometimes when we're praying, it's requests. Sometimes when we're praying, we're making demands. And that's all well and good. Some people pray in tongues, in unknown tongues. Some people just mumble words. Some people use aids. So they have mantras. They have mantras and regular prayer times. And those things are counted bead by bead, counting prayer beads. Yes. All that is important too. So your actions are both visible and audible. Your speaking is invisible but audible. But your thinking is both invisible and inaudible in the ordinary sense. And when we're praying, we tend to focus a little more on the speaking part and then the action part. And not paying as much attention to the thinking part. I'm not talking about having a thought which is reflective of your desire, want or need. I'm talking about the rigor of thinking through even your desires, your wants, your needs. If you're unable to think those things through, you will carry desires, wants, and needs on a very preliminary or primary level. You will take that into your speaking as unrefined and untested as those desires, wants, and needs are. They will carry over to your speaking, and they will carry over to your action and how you choose to approach God. whether on your knees, and then even after that, what actions you need to take to support whatever it is you're praying for. Those things are really, really important. We understand. But what's most important, because you see, with every stage we go, from thinking to speaking to acting, we lose something. There's a principle in science called attenuation. Attenuation means that the further something goes from its point of origin, the slower it becomes inevitably. It becomes slower. So a good example would be if you take a torch and then shine your flashlight forward and then you're looking around. Yes, light travels far, but as you move further and further away, that light diminishes. So in the principle of attenuation, when we talk about thinking in the place of prayer, we're not talking about having thoughts reflective of your wants, desires, and or needs. We are talking about having those thoughts go through the rigors of thinking. Let your wants, your desires, and needs be thoroughly analyzed before taking it to God. It's ridiculous how we can think God, just come to God with anything. It's true, you mean like a father, some like a brother, like a mother, but it's respectable to sit down and really think through your wants or what you think. Think through what you think are your wants, needs, or desires. After doing that, then you pray. Then you can pray. Before that, we still pray all the time. And there's another issue about praying, which is beyond the scope of this conversation. But we're always praying. And some people think prayer is just like a phone call, meaning you say, "Oh, I'm ready to pray." Then you dial heaven, and then you go and then you talk. "I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. Oh, I worship you." And then when you drop, you then go around on your merry way. And sometimes there's a disconnect between what you say in the place of prayer and what you do outside the place of prayer. And that can be completely antithetical. And then we wonder why our prayers are not answered. Which takes us to the topic of today, which is the phenomenal power of unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayers are a gift and a grace to every human being. Let me say that again. Unanswered prayers are a gift and a grace afforded to every human being. Why is it a gift? Why is it a grace? Well, let's apply our thinking hats and our thinking tools to this issue of unanswered prayer. Typically, when we make requests, you know, when we are praying, but not to God, we are praying to communicating with someone. In law and in the courts, they say, "I pray the judges to excellent." Many times when we make requests, so we have there's a perspective that says that there are four answers to prayer. There's a yes, there's a no, there's a wait, and there's a silence. Let me say that again. The four typical answers to prayers expressive of our wants, needs, and desires are yes, no, wait, or dead silence. Nobody speaks, nobody's at home. And I think we've all gone through this. You've had prayers that you prayed that didn't come through, didn't come across. You had challenges that you just couldn't surmount. You had, and guess what? All four options are good, at least in their own specific contexts. So, God, I want a new car. Yes. God, I want a new car. No. Oh. God, I want a new car. Wait. God, I want a new car. Yes. Dead silence. Dead silence. And that's interesting. But we're going to focus on the no. Wait and silence as responses to a prayer that didn't come to pass. So you pray, oh Lord, do this for me. Any answer apart from having a new car, we will categorize together as unanswered prayer. So there's yes, but there's also no, but your no and your wait and your silence, let's bunch all of them together and call them unanswered prayer. Today's topic is the phenomenal power of unanswered prayer. This means the phenomenal power of when heaven says no, or wait, or doesn't say anything at all. And here's where the gift and the grace come in. Unanswered prayer helps you do a number of things. And there are three of them I want to highlight specifically. Number one, your unanswered prayer gives you an opportunity to reassess those your wants, needs, and desires. Let's say that again. Unanswered prayers give you the opportunity to reassess your wants, your needs, and your desires. The opportunity to assess or reassess your wants, needs, or desires. God, I want a new car. Oh Lord, I want a car. And then nobody's answering. Then you take a moment, do I really need a car? Well, I want a car. Because a want is also valid. It doesn't have to just be needs. I want a car. Yeah. But do you really want a car? Oh, what I really want is a bicycle. Or what I really need is a bicycle. I want to buy a car. You are able to sit down and then reassess it. Do I really want a car? And that's a huge grace. Because sometimes, imagine you are given a car. And you're given a car that is above your budget. A car you cannot manage. A car which taxes on are good for pays or good salaries for years. Unanswered prayer creates the opportunity to reassess that prayer point. Say, do I really want this? Do I really need this? Do I really desire this? Do I really want a new car? Do I really want a new home? Do I really want a new government? Do I really want a new system? What kind of system do I really want? What kind of car do I really want? Do I want a brand new car? Do I want one fairly used? Do I want an electric car? Do I want a petrol fuel car? It gives you the chance and the opportunity to reassess your wants, needs, or desires. The new government, should it be more inclusive or extractive? That dress I want, do I really want that dress? Do I want a designer outfit? Do I really want a designer outfit? And in reassessing your wants, needs, and desires, there's a chance and the opportunity to change them. And you say, you know what? I wanted a car before, but no, I think a bicycle will do. I wanted a small car. I wanted a sedan before, but now I need a four. I need a sports utility, an SUV, a Jeep. Oh, I wanted a house before, but now having thought about it, what I want is a hotel. Oh, I want a new government in power. What you really want is to be in a position where you can help more. Unanswered prayers are a gift. And that gift, the first element of which is the ability to reassess whatever you have prayed for in terms of your wants, needs, or desires. That's the first grace afforded to us by unanswered prayer. The second opportunity in unanswered prayer, the second power, the second gift and grace in unanswered prayer is the opportunity to see, to observe the world around you and see what's changing. Let me say that again. The key, one of the other key elements of the unanswered prayer is the chance to fine-tune your praying or your prayer with sensitivity to what's going on around you. So in the Bible, and I don't know if you're a Christian or not, there's a place in the Bible that says, watch and pray. Meaning that prayer shouldn't just erupt from your mind. It shouldn't just pop into your mind and then you express it. When an idea pops into your mind that you want to pray about, we are admonished by the good book to watch. What is changing? What's changing in your life? Yes, you're growing older. Yes, you have a good job. Or yes, the economy is tanking. Yes, that's not misdirect. Yes, the world is moving towards clean energy. Do I really want a fuel car? Wouldn't I be better with an electric car? Yes. There's tension among people. There's sectarian. There's violence ongoing. Are you sure you want to that house in the place where you want it? These are the kind of things that we are afforded. When God doesn't answer your prayer immediately, don't take it for granted. Look around, because something may have changed that will make the answer to that your prayer either redundant or defective, if not outrightly dangerous to you. So the second grace that unanswered prayer gives us is the opportunity to reassess our surroundings, to reassess our situation, to reassess our circumstances. Yes, this is what's happening in the retail industry. This is what's happening in my business. This is what's happening in the banks. This is what's happening in my place of worship. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. And so for all your unanswered prayers, don't waste it. Immediately look around and observe and see what is changing or what has changed. What is changing or what has changed? Very, very important. That's the second grace of unanswered prayer. The third reason for unanswered prayer that I want to communicate in this podcast, and there are a lot more, is the opportunity to prioritize your prayer points. What do I mean? Let me explain. If you nobody has one problem, and if you have no problems, then it means you're not pushing yourself. It means you're not hitting new boundaries. It means you're not growing. It means you're not growing. It means that you're stagnated. And that's not what you want. That's not what we want. Not for ourselves. So unanswered prayer helps you or gives you the space, the headspace, the mental bandwidth to prioritize and say, hey, do I want a new house? Or do I want a baby? Do I want a new car? Or do I want a visa? Do I want a new boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife? Or just want to be part of a community where love flows freely? When your prayer is not answered, it gives you the chance and the opportunity to get your priorities straight. I have a big aunt of mine who runs a hugely successful pharmacy retail business. Hugely successful. And something interesting happened when, so she got COVID at some point. And in her communication to all of us in the general public, she's not my real aunt, by the way. It's, you know, big sister aunt. That's African tradition. People who are older than you, you can call them auntie. Okay. Now, huge. And then when she got the virus, what I found so interesting in her missive was her saying, was what came across in her missive, in her statement, was the fact that she was able to prioritize, to make a good reassessment of everything going on around her, and then prioritize and sit down and say, okay, you know what, this is what's more important to me. Take this down, move it from number one to number three. I want a dog, put the dog at number four. I want a good nanny, they will not steal from me, they will not cheat me. Number one, I want my husband to stay at home more, I want to be more involved in the life of my child. So suddenly, in that space, in that place of unanswered prayer, in just that place, you have the ability to quickly sit down and make your priorities. So you prayed for five things, but the answers haven't come. Well, you can look and say, you know what, maybe, especially if there are things that are connected, you know, so you want to travel out so you can get a better job, whether out of town, out of state, out of the country, so you can get a better job so that you can have a higher quality of life. And then you get the chance, you sit down and you say, all these things are linked. Do they necessarily need to be linked? Maybe I should just prioritize quality of life first, then maybe we can travel, and then maybe look for jobs there, because of unanswered prayer. And yes, I understand unanswered prayer tends to sting. I mean, if you're caught in a desperate situation, you've been kidnapped, for example, and you're praying, oh Lord, deliver me, oh Lord, deliver me, God help me, God help me. Fantastic. But nothing has happened. Day one, and it happened day two. In those moments, you have the opportunity to prioritize, sit down and rearrange your priorities. In another context, again, you have the opportunity to say, okay, what is going on around me? Is the police effective? Are there things that I should be doing? Are there people here that may need to? Are there new friendships I can make? What's going on around you? Are there new relationships I can build? Is there somebody I can talk to there? Watch.
It's part of the element of watch and pray. So when your prayer is not answered in the form and fashion with which you asked, you have the opportunity to look around and observe so that you can tweak your prayer points, at least to the best of your ability, and make and improve those prayer points so that when they do get answered, you are happier. You are happier than you was before. Again, when you pray and your prayer is not answered, it gives you a chance to think again about what your prayer point is. So that at the end of the day, you don't get what you want, but not want what you get. Say that again. So that at the end of the day, you don't get what you want, only to not want what you get. Because the only thing worse than an unanswered prayer is an answered prayer that leaves your soul weaker, that leaves your soul damaged, that leaves your soul lesser, that depletes your essence, that reduces your value. There are prayers that we pray that if they are answered, your self-expression will go through the roof. So in the spirit of that, I invite you, encourage you even, to pay attention when your prayers are not answered. Pay attention. Because when your prayer is not answered, you have three things that you can do quickly. Even no matter how tight the situation is, no matter how pressing it is, when you pray and that prayer has not yet been answered, one, sit down and review the prayer point itself and say, this is what I really want. I want a car. Do I just want a car? No. I want a business. Do I just want a business? It gives you a chance to reassess the prayer point itself. That's number one. Number two, use the opportunity to assess what's going on around you. What's going on around you? Because those things too can help you improve your praying. You see that what's going on around you? There's a pandemic, there's economic, there's this, there's that. And then you're able to tweak your prayer point. You say, Lord, how can I right the stride of this? How can I help correct it? Because not all praying needs to be selfish. You're praying for someone else, but still you need to think. Is that what the person wants? You have somebody lying on the bed dying of cancer. I say, oh Lord, revive them. Heal. Yes, interesting, good. But God hasn't answered. The person is deteriorating. Oh, live. But what if death is better? What if in that sick bed, oh, this person is ill, down. What if on that sick bed, he gets the opportunity, rare opportunity, to review his life and review his mistakes and come to an understanding in that place of pain, in that place of sickness, and get a better understanding of life and the value of life, which if God had healed him as you wanted him to be healed, that guy will move, his life will continue, and that the quality of that life will be a weaker, lesser one than what we have obtained. When, if God did not answer the prayer, there's huge power there. Okay, so the second thing. The third thing is just to prioritize, to sit down and prioritize. So you say, oh Lord, I've asked for A, B, C, D, E. But you know what? I think I want E, C, BDA. That's one thing that unanswered prayer can do. So don't waste it. Don't waste your prayer time. Don't waste your unanswered prayer time. Don't be discouraged when your prayer point does not materialize to specification. Don't be saddened by it. Instead, leverage your unanswered prayer. Leverage it. Leverage your unanswered prayer. Leverage your unanswered prayer. Reassess your prayer points. Reassess your prayer points. Review what's going on around you. Review what's going on around you. Prioritize your praying and your prayer points. Prioritize your praying and your prayer points. Those are the things you can do with unanswered prayer. Those are the things you can use from unanswered prayer. From unanswered prayer. Such that something that is good can come out of something that is not good. Something that's not good in this context being unanswered prayer. I prayed for something, I didn't get what I wanted. Yes, you didn't get what you wanted. However, you've gotten A, B, C. You've had a chance to reassess the prayer point and tweak it as required. Two, you have the opportunity to look around you and understand what's going on around you. So you can tweak your prayers. So, three, you also have the opportunity to sit down and rearrange your priorities so that it tweaks your prayer. And when you've done all these things, you go back to the place of prayer and pray again. And if you still don't have an answer, if you still have unanswered prayers, then sit down and take your new prayer, those prayer points now, and rework them. Rework them. Tweak. Rechange your priorities. Think. Rechange your understanding of what's going on around. Expand your awareness. So that maybe you are thinking, you're praying and you're thinking, oh Lord, for my household, or your own family members. Sometimes when there's an unanswered prayer, the onus on you is tonight to expand your mind. It's okay, beyond my nuclear family, my extended family. Beyond my extended family, it's my village, my township. After my village, my township, my street, my estate. After your estate, my state, the state in which I am. The country. The continent. The world. Because of unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer says, hey, reassess your prayer points. What do I need to tweak? What do I want to change? I want to be a change agent. So let me give an example for myself. My praying, or my biggest prayer point currently is that 1 in 10 Nigerians self-identify as thinkers. By 2035. I didn't come to that prayer point in one day. It took a while and took a lot of. You might even argue that, well, is that really an unanswered prayer? To a degree it is, because there's a way in my head that this is supposed to work. So there's a roadmap. And to the degree that I am achieving or not achieving the targets, or missing those targets, or missing the places on the roadmap, it's an unanswered prayer. With respect to the even though it's even the right trajectory, it's still an unanswered prayer. And so, I've had the chance to sit down and review it. So I say, hey, you know what? I can't be doing thinking development on a retail basis. Because I sit down and talk to friends, oh, this is happening, blah, 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 blah. And then I sit down and I teach thinking tools. And then it helps them, it refines their prayer and their prayer points. But how many people can I do that for? I've had patients come into my, the case I had, this gentleman came into the office, he says, doctor, I'm feeling like this, like that, and it seemed to be really interesting and non-specific. And in the middle of all that, I said, stop. I said, what is it? Is it a woman? Is it money? Is it work? And then the guy just sits down and he opens his mouth at Jan, like, goodness gracious, doctor, how did you know? Well, technically, it's part of my job. But the point comes across. Better thinking, a little better praying. But again, question is, how many people can I do that for? If you want, in terms of nation building, and you want a seismic shift in the nation's trajectory, I can't meet with every, I can't even reach 5,000 Nigerians teaching them thinking tools on a retail basis. I need to go, I need to be able to do this wholesale. I need to be able to do this on a national scale. I need to be able to do this on a sub-Saharan African scale. You see, but that's where I started. Where I started was, oh God, I have these thinking tools that I've used and I find really effective. And I'm like, goodness, I could change the world with this. I could change the world with this. Oh Lord, help me change the world. Oh Lord, help me change the world. There's a pathway to changing the world. And so for every answer, for every target I missed, for every road milestone I did not achieve, to me, it was an answered prayer, but it forced me again to go and rethink my prayer point. I want to change the world, but okay, what's the time? How many people? You know, so we talk about goal setting, you know, with the SMART acronym, you know, simple, measurable, what's attainable, realistic, and time bound. And so it pushed me to a point where I said, okay, you know what? If I want to change the world, I need to adjust my prayer. I need to adjust my praying. I need to adjust my expectations. I need to adjust my proposals and represent them to God and wait for answers. Thinking is not an enemy to spirituality or religion. It is a critical partner in it. Because thinking is the fundamental human resource. The fundamental human resource. If you can change your thinking, you can change your world. If you can change your thinking in the place of prayer, if you can understand the value of unanswered prayer, if you can understand that when the prayer is not answered, maybe you should review the prayer points. You can understand that maybe when the prayer is not answered, you should review what's going on around you. You can understand that even if the prayer is not answered, you can reprioritize. Do not waste your unanswered prayer. Because for most of us, our unanswered prayers are way, 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 way more than our answered prayers. Maybe, what? If you're really good, maybe 30% of your prayers are answered. 70% are answered. Man, you're a great guy. For some of us, 10% of your prayers are answered. 90% are not. 5% of your prayers are answered. 95% are not. Is that a good thing? It could be. It could be. How? By understanding how to leverage unanswered prayers. How to leverage unanswered prayers. Do not waste your unanswered prayers. Thank you so much for connecting. I'd like to hear from you, your comments, your thoughts on this and other issues. Thank you for listening in. The problem is not the problem. Thinking Podcast. I remain your host, Dr. Akin. Catch you in the next one.